Welcome to episode 366 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 20th of February 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone app. Your hosts for today are Brad, Jacob, and myself, Daryl, and our guest is Jennifer Quinn.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha, ha. Tech, 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 tech webcast. Let's go!
Hello, Brad.
Hello, Daryl. How are you, man? How's your week been?
It's been a good week, yeah. I mean, back to work, so that's always a bit of a culture shock when you first start back after a holiday. But it's been a good week. The weather's been fine here, and so I can't complain too much.
I agree. It's been great weather here in Melbourne, and sun's out. And
the birds are singing, and everything's good in the world.
Yep, it is indeed, mate. Jacob, how's your week been, buddy?
Getting over the darn flu. Ooh.
That sucks.
Yeah,
are you over it now?
I still got the runny nose.
Okay. How's your week been, mate, besides that?
It's been good.
Okay, cool. Anything exciting happened during the week or you'll mention? Or?
Not really, because everything's been the same recently.
Okay. All right. Good to see you, mate. Good to have you back on the podcast. We got Jennifer Quinn on. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Good to have you on. How's your week been?
It's been fabulous. And you know what? It's kind of cool. I'm recording in the future right now.
We are indeed. We're in the future, yeah.
Because I'm in the United States and it's still February 19th.
Yep. Oh, sort of a Doctor Who moment.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Have you got much snow where you are, Jennifer, or any snow?
Nope. I'm in Boise, Idaho, and I live in the valley, and we really don't get much snow in the valley. You know, like when it does fall, it doesn't last long. So in the mountains, I can see the snow-capped mountains, but here in the valley, not much.
Wow.
Nice. I mean, none, as a matter of fact. So not much. It's zero.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So during the week, I'll go to Jacob because he knows what I'm talking about. Jacob, you know what Sonos is, right?
Yes, I do.
So during the week, I got sent a Sonos Play 5 to review. That's going to be coming up very shortly. What do you want to know about Sonos, Jacob? Have you heard of them? Have you seen them? Do you know what they do? Or?
Seen them. You showed me photos, and you actually sent me a video of it playing some music, and it's very clear and crisp.
Yes, great sound by Sonos. Darryl, have you checked out Sonos before?
I haven't used it. I don't have a Sonos, but I've sort of seen videos and stuff and heard reviews about it, and it's supposed to be really, really, really super quality sound. So
yes, indeed.
Yes, I'd like sound. One day. One day when my budget prevails, I'd like a Sonos.
Even a Play One, in for a bedroom would be
really
would be perfect.
Nice. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Great sound. You just use it from an app, and you just download the app onto your phone, and then choose the music service or whatever you want to play, and then just plays from the app and works fantastic.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was wanting to say something.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Even playing through your iPad, I could hear it crystal clear.
Yeah, the Play 5 is a great quality. This has been updated. This version. They have a previous version of the Play 5, but this one's been updated with better specs and that sort of thing, and great quality.
It's huge.
It is. It's great. It's on my desk right now and it looks fantastic. Jennifer, do you use Sonos? Have you heard of Sonos before?
I'm sorry. Say that again. Did I use what?
Have you heard of Sonos before?
No, I have not.
Okay, they're a Wi-Fi speaker. that you can hook up to your phone and play music and stuff from it.
No, I actually haven't, but that sounds great.
So yeah, if you're into music, so make sure you check out Sonos. If you want a high, good quality hi-fi speaker, and
sounds good, we'll do.
Yeah, please do. Okay, let's go to the news real quick, Daryl, and yep. We'll come back and have a chat.
No
with,
problem,
Jennifer. No problem. And where is the news? Here we go. Here we go.
And here's some news items for the week. Our first one is from Mac Rumors, the Mac Rumors newsletter, and Apple releases an update version of iOS 9.2.1 to fix devices bricked by that famous error 53. Now, Apple today released an updated version of iOS 9.2.1, which is designed to prevent the error 53 device bricking message that some iOS users received after having their iPhone or iPads repaired by third-party services using components and sourced from the original, not sourced from the original device. That's the important message. Now, matching repair components that affect the Touch ID fingerprint sensor cause an iOS device to fail a Touch ID validation check because the mismatched parts were unable to properly sync. The validation check occurred during the iOS update or restore, and when failed, Apple disabled the iPhone, effectively bricking it in an effort to protect Touch ID and the related secure enclave that stores customer fingerprint information. So if you've got if your phone's had this sort of issue, then 9.2.1 fix should fix your device which has been bricked. I mean, it was a an issue that Apple were using as a protection against, you know, any risk to vulnerabilities to their Touch ID. The next one is from Business Insider, and it's on Yahoo. Yahoo is most likely to be sold in the next 6 months, says the world's most accurate Yahoo analyst. The most likely outcome for Yahoo is a sale, says SunTrust analyst Robert Peak. Peak has been the leading analyst on the Yahoo story. He was first to suggest that Marissa Mayer was in trouble, warning that investors were wary of her plan to spin out Alibaba shares. He was first to say Yahoo was likely to pause its spin out of Alibaba shares. So Peak knows what's going on, and when he says something, people should listen. On Wednesday, Yahoo announced that it wouldn't spin out Alibaba and instead would spin out the internet business. On a call with analysts, Yahoo's chairman Maynard Webb said there is no determination by the board to sell the company or any part of it. Webb says he believes that Yahoo is undervalued and the company's focus will be on revitalizing the company and getting investors to properly value the company. So that's, if you're a Yahoo user, stay tuned to see what happens to what was once a tech giant. And the final story, again, is from Mac Rumors. Apple says government changed Apple ID password on shooter's iPhone, losing access to data. And this is the story that's been raging in the US with the FBI. Shortly after the US Department of Justice filed a motion demanding Apple comply with an order to help it unlock the iPhone 5C of San Bernardino, there you go, Darrells. San Bernardino shooter Syed Farouk. Apple executives shared key information with several reporters, including BuzzFeed's John, and about government missteps that may have led to reduced access to the iPhone in question. According to Apple, the Apple ID password on the iPhone was changed less than 24 hours after being in government hands. Had the password not been altered, Apple believes the backup information the government is asking for could have been accessible to Apple's engineers. So the story goes on, but basically it's about the fact that Apple is not going to allow or not going to be forced by government to unlock this phone. And so it's a big issue regarding privacy and encryption. So that's the news. And sorry, I got flummoxed over San Bernardino.
Oh, good, buddy. Let's go to Jacob real quick and give us any opinions on them. Sorry, Jacob.
Well, the one about the iPhone, Yeah, first and foremost, Donald Trump, it was a story that I had before, he was wanting to boycott all the Apple products, including all Apple.
Mm.
Yeah, didn't. I saw this one popped up later on. So they had to get in there somehow, and they did.
Exactly. What do you think of it? What do you think, would you let Apple get into your phone if they needed to, Jacob?
No, because I don't have a phone.
I'm just saying, if they need to get into your Apple product or whatever, would you let them do it?
No.
Okay.
I'd sue them so bad. I'd sue them for the whole company.
All right. Interesting. Anything else, Jacob? Any other opinions, mate?
And the Era 53, that sucks.
It does indeed. If you want to go back to 1975 and brick your phone.
No, it's not that one.
It's this one was where if you had your iPhone was broken and you went to a third party wasn't an Apple part, so they changed the fingerprint reader, but it wasn't an Apple part. When Apple updated iOS and it compared the device, it said, you're using a touch that's not an Apple, and it wouldn't sync it, and then it would actually brick. And it was actually, Apple say it was actually a protection to stop anyone having a third that wasn't secure. In other words, because Touch ID is used for your banking and everything like that. So,
okay. All right, Jake, what else, mate, you want to say?
And the Yahoo? That's crazy if they're going to try to sell it.
Wonder who'll buy it.
Microsoft, maybe.
What about Google? Would Google buy it?
I don't think so.
No?
Not unless they got it for a bargain basement.
What about Twitter? Would Twitter buy it?
Twitter have an email?
What about Facebook?
They'd have to look at what Yahoo's got in its stable of stuff and whether it's worth it. I mean, I think Yahoo's in trouble because I don't think Yahoo knows what it is anymore.
True.
You know, what does Yahoo really do now? I mean, can anyone really explain?
Well, Yahoo, do they still do email? I don't use Yahoo email anymore.
They have a list, like they have Flickr and they have the email and they have various other like elements. But what, as a company, we all know what Google does. We all know what Facebook does. We all know what Microsoft does, their core businesses and what they do. But Yahoo sort of was all over the place doing stuff, and now people are sort of wondering. And Alibaba, they bought a stake in Alibaba, and it's worth a lot of money, and that's why there's been this big bun fight over whether they'd spin off Alibaba, because it's a Chinese company, and it's making a lot of money. So it's helping to sort of prop up Yahoo's revenue because they're getting, they're getting proceeds off Alibaba, and that's so. I think Marissa Meyer, who used to actually be a Google executive before she became Yahoo, I think she's tried to turn Yahoo around, but I don't know. It might be like the Titanic; it might be going to hit that iceberg. Definitely.
So Jacob, will Facebook buy Yahoo?
Heck no! Hey. It'll be a cold day in hell if they buy it.
What about YouTube? Would YouTube buy it?
No, I don't think so. Unless they bought it.
What about Jacob? Would Jacob buy it? Maybe Jacob can buy it.
If it got low enough price, he might.
Well, if I had the money, I would. No, I would.
No, I'm joking.
Strip it all.
Yeah, what might happen.
That's what might happen is it might get stripped into parts, and so the email might get sold off to someone, and Flickr might get sold off to someone, and and so you might find a Google or a Facebook or someone buying elements of it, but as a whole company, I don't know if anyone would want to buy it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Jacob. Any other anything else you want to say, mate?
Not right now. Let's get right on to the guest.
Well, let's get to Jennifer first. We need to ask her what she thinks of the news stories first. Jennifer, what's your view on the stories?
So, I'm actually really glad that you brought up the story about federal government in the United States demanding, actually a federal judge ordered Apple to develop a product that doesn't even exist so that they can get into the phone. And Tim Cook, Apple CEO, issued a letter. I don't know if you guys have read that. and it was February 16th that he wrote it, and it was a message to our customers, and he spells it out beautifully why they are refusing to do what the government, you know, is asking. And I completely agree with his reasoning. I'm actually shocked that the federal government can even issue an order for a corporation to develop a product, period. Right? But especially one that would encroach on the privacy of its customers. The product doesn't exist at the moment. It's not like Apple's refusing to do anything other than create a product that circumvents their own privacy security that gives all of us peace of mind in our smartphone. And I don't think that, you know, this one case of you know, gathering evidence justifies the means to get to the end at all. I think it's a slippery slope, and it's going to be really interesting to see how this shakes out. It'll be interesting to see it on several different levels. One, it'll be interesting to see if Apple gets any pushback from customers. You know, will it increase, right, their sales and their stock, or will it decrease it? I don't know. But it'll also be interesting to see what the government does with it.
Been interesting that Facebook and Google and that have come out in support of Apple. And they feel
right.
I mean, the danger is for those that think, oh, what's it matter? You know, it's a criminal who we want to break into his phone and find out what he did. The danger is we use our smartphones for everything from banking, and we're going to be using more and more for very sensitive information transfer. You know,
exactly.
If Apple is forced to build in a what they call a backdoor to allow the FBI or you know the Australian government or any other government to, you know, look at what you're doing, the hackers are going to find it in 5 minutes. And as soon as the hackers find it and publicise it on the internet, your phone is basically useless as anything else other than making a telephone call, because you will not be able to trust it with banking. You will not be able to trust it with anything else. And the hackers will exploit it as soon as it hits, because you're basically putting a legal vulnerability into the security system into the phone or whatever the device is. And that's just going to be a disaster for consumers. They'll have no more faith in doing internet banking. They'll have no more faith in doing anything online if using a smartphone, if they know that there is a huge black hole there that a government has put in, forced Apple to put in. So I think that's why Tim Cook is just so adamant that you take me to court, you go to the, and I wouldn't be surprised if this sort of case heads all the way to the US Supreme Court.
I think Apple will take it
as far as they can, and it will then come back to public opinion. And hopefully most people out there will say, hey, we don't want that to happen to a phone. We want some level, we want encryption, we want to be able to trust the device. And hopefully the court of public opinion will back Apple, and you know, in this particular case.
And you know, Daryl, it wasn't until you read the news article that you read here in the opening that I knew that it was because, did I hear it right? Is it because the FBI made an error when they first took possession of the phone? They made an error, and now they want Apple to cover up their error?
I think that's the case. See, everyone was blaming Apple. Everyone was saying, oh, Apple won't let them in. Apple's, you know, locked the phone down so secure they can't get in, the poor FBI. And Apple's trying to sort of hit back by saying, well, if you'd done this, this, and this, it had never have got to that situation. But because you were clumsy in the way you did things, the phone, you can't access the phone. And that's not Apple's fault. And they're trying to fight back in the court of public opinion by saying, listen, we didn't just sit this phone up here and block it so that, you know, some criminal's records couldn't be accessed. You, the FBI, blundered in and made some silly things like changing the password or attempting to change the password and doing these things. And you've made the phone also not be accessible. So hopefully, you know, so I don't know, but it's going to be a long, protracted case, because Apple's got enough billions in the bank to be able to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. And of course, now with one of your Supreme Court judges passing away and Justice Scalia, who probably would have supported the FBI, it will make it very interesting if it gets to the Supreme Court, well, at least in the US anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it will be really interesting to see.
And I think Google and Microsoft and Facebook and all the other big tech giants will back Apple on this particular case. And so I think the government's going to be fighting basically the whole tech industry on this. And our government's just as bad. Our Attorney General, George Brandis, was in Parliament the other day or speaking the other day, you know, whining about why, you know, Apple is blocking the FBI from accessing this phone because he'd love the same sort of access to phones here in Australia. So for those in Australia who are listening saying, oh, this is an American issue, it's not. If the Supreme or if Apple is forced to do it in the US, they're not going to make multiple operating systems for different countries. That big black hole will happen on iPhones in Australia, and you can bet your bottom dollar that we'll have hackers here or, you know, accessing our phones as well.
Interesting. Right. All right. Jennifer, any other comments on the news stories?
You know, it's an interesting idea to think who will buy Yahoo, right? If anyone, yeah. Like, if anyone, I think is the question. No.
Jennifer can buy it.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah. We'll have an auction. We'll have an auction here on Tech Webcast for Yahoo.
Maybe Jennifer can buy the Flickr and Jacob can buy the mail part.
Perfect. No, but that's interesting to think. Yeah, I wonder if Yahoo waited a little too long to sell. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, is that all you want to say, Jennifer, about the news stories?
That's it. I'm golden.
All right, cool. All right, tell us about what you do. Welcome to the show, by the way, and good to have you on.
Thank you. It's great to be here. This is fun.
I've seen you on Blab and what's that app called? Periscope.
Chris Voss.
What's that?
I think you're on one of the shows with Chris Voss.
Do you know Chris Voss?
I do know Chris Voss. I'm not on a show with him, though.
Okay. So anyway, me personally, I've seen you on Snapchat, Periscope, Twitter, Blab, and tell us about the show that you do.
Yeah, sure. So I have a show called The Daily Q Show, and I do host that on Blab. And what I do is I interview people who demonstrate excellence in their fields, and it can be any field. It can be authors, health professionals, business, marketing, social media, entertainment.
Podcasting.
Podcasting. Yes, podcasting. And so I do that. I'm coming up on my 100th episode, so I'm super excited about that. Pardon me?
Very cool. Good on you.
Yes, thank you. Mm. And so I do that, and I'm actually starting a new show next week with a friend of mine and a fellow live streamer. She goes by Ms. Candy Blog, and she actually has a candy blog, as her name implies. But what we're doing is we're starting a show called Ladies Who Live Stream, and we're going to be discussing the unique issues surrounding live streaming for women. And so we're starting that on Blab, and that'll be a weekly show. The Daily Q Show, I started out 5 days a week. It just was too much to keep up. So I'm in 2016, I brought it down to 3 shows a week.
Well, good on you. What sort of guests? Yeah. Who's your favorite guest that you've chatted with so far?
So, I get asked that question. And the truth is, I don't have a favorite guest because they're all so diverse. And after each episode, I really feel energized and inspired. But some of the guests that you might recognize, because, you know, my commitment to my audience is that I will have people on who've demonstrated excellence in that field and that they will have something to teach us. That doesn't mean that person is a household name, right? Yeah. I've had on my show Shama Hyder, and she, I don't know if you know her, she was named as Forbes and Inc.'s top 30 under 30. And she is the owner of Marketing Zen Group. So she has a social media company that's just doing amazing things. She was phenomenal. And you know, one of the things that I really enjoy about interviewing people on my show, she has this very strong professional presence. And then I loved having her on the show to show her more human side and her, you know, just her warmth. So that was good. And then did this show make it to Australia? Judge Alex TV. show?
What was it called? Judge Alex. No, I'm not sure.
We've got Judge Judy, but I don't know whether
Judge Judy's here in Australia. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's pretty similar. It was Judge Alex. He was on the air for 9 years, and he came on my show. I've had one of the contestants of The Bachelorette come on my show, Joshua Albers. Yeah, that was really fun. And then Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. His dad actually wrote The Four Agreements. And then Junior wrote The Five Levels of Attachment. And so he's been on my show a few times. And so you can see it's really an eclectic, you know, group of people. You guys probably know Joel Kahn.
Yep, we know Joel. Yep, I know Joel.
Yep, and he was on my show, and Brian Kramer. And a lot of, you know, a lot of the people that we all know in the live streaming and the broadcasting community, you know, I've been on because we're all together, right? I'm like, hey, come on my show. So Joel Kahn and Vincenzo Landino and Brian Fanzo.
Yep.
And
been on the show before too, yep.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Very cool to talk to them guys, and very smart. Jacob, any questions for Jennifer?
Have you had Mike Elgin on or something like that?
No, tell me who this is.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Brad can tell you a little bit more. He was a guest last
week. Jennifer asked the question, Jacob, so you have to answer it.
I don't know much about Michael Elgin. That's
all. Who is Michael Elgin? Should I know who this person is?
Yeah, Mike Elgin. He used to be on the Tweet Network. Tweet. I can't say the word.
Tweet.
Which is a big podcasting company. And now he's doing his own podcast and stuff. He's on Twitter and stuff. And it's pretty well known.
You know, that's one thing that's been really interesting to me, Jacob, is the people. So I have a company called youbeingsocial.com, and it's a marketing company. And so I am, you know, for years I've been surrounding myself with the marketing people and the big names in marketing, right? And so I would book a guest that I was so huge in my industry, and I'd be so excited about it. And I'd tell my friend who's a CPA, and I'd say, guess what? You're never going to believe who I just booked. And she's like, who's that? You know, it was such a surprise to me that everybody didn't know everybody that was so important to me. So I apologize to Mike.
You should get him on, Jennifer. He's a really good guy to talk to, and he's very smart.
Perfect.
And we've also had a lot of great guests on this podcast too, which you may want to check out as well. You may want to get on your show as well. Jake, any other questions, mate? More questions?
What or a suggestion?
I'm always open.
Well, Brad got the guy from Aussie Pickers. What was his name?
I can't remember the name.
It was so far back, but
Jennifer won't know that show, Jacob.
She would know American Pickers.
I don't know that show.
It's where they go around. They're like an auction.
Oh, how fun! Like,
They drive around and they buy stuff off people and stuff. That sort of thing.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not sure that's fully for your show.
Sounds like a
fun show.
Everything
can find. Yeah, what are they? What are they can find? Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool indeed. And what sort of technology do you use, Jennifer, every day? Like, you got an iPhone and stuff and that sort of thing.
I do. I have the iPhone 6 Plus.
Yes.
I also have the Samsung Note 4.
Nice.
And yeah, that's kind of it. I'm a PC girl, and I know that is not PC to say.
Really?
I just haven't made the jump to the Mac yet.
Yeah, whatever works for you, really. If you're happy with Windows, yeah. Windows. And I moved from Windows to the Mac, and I love the Mac. I use it every day. I love it. And
not my Windows person, although I do have, you know, an iPad and an iPhone, but I'm sitting at a Windows 10 notebook computer right now. So,
Daryl, any questions for Jennifer?
Yeah, when you're interviewing, you know, you've got people on, and they're obviously very smart in their fields. How do you sort of, when you're interviewing, do you like to sort of get to the nuts and bolts as far as what inspire them to get into the profession that they're in? Because some people, particularly sort of, you know, marketing type people, they're very good at promoting what they're doing. But in some cases, it's much harder to actually delve deep and find out what makes them tick, you know, beneath all that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. that you bring that up, because my sort of, for lack of a better word, my tagline in my intro to my show, I say, you know, my name is Jennifer Quinn. I'm the host of the Daily Q show. I interview people who have demonstrated excellence in their fields. And the reason I do this is because I've always been fascinated at what makes people tick. And so I'm always coming from that angle. So yes, I like to get a background, mostly for the audience and for the viewers, to get a feel of, you know, what this person does and what they excel in. But then I'm always, you know, asking those questions to find out, why do you do it? What was the moment? What was the defining moment? What was leading up to your life to make you decide to do that? Because there's always lessons along the way that we can learn from.
Yeah, it's interesting, yeah, because, you know, it might be some issue or some in someone's life that made them turn to whatever they're doing now, or they changed what they were doing. It can be some sort of one life issue that either switched the light on and said, well, this is the way I'm going to go. Or, and for me personally, when I'm listening to podcasts about people, it's those sorts of things, because you often hear what they achieve, you often hear what they're doing now, but it's sort of interesting to find out, well, why did you become what you become, and what influenced you to become that person?
Yes, exactly. And this year, I've kind of taken, and when I say this year, I mean it's since 2016, and we're just in February. I kind of have shifted a little bit, because after I did probably about 70 interviews, I started to notice there were very specific habits and traits that all the people who have excelled, they've mastered. So I kind of, you know, aggregated those, wrote them down, and then I've been inviting guests back who I felt specifically demonstrated that, you know, skill or habit. And then we've been delving in even deeper to those. So, for example, I just yesterday had Toby Brockner on the show, and he's the owner of V-Squared Creative, and he talked about continual learning and how important that is, and how to learn, right? Because the people who excel, they know that the moment they stop learning is the moment that they're going to stop achieving. You're either learning, you know, you're either going up or you're going down. There's no stagnation. And then we've covered things like the importance of self-care and how rituals matter, how to be decisive, how to take action, how and when to make course corrections. Don't worry what people think. You know, and then being open all the time to what life is bringing their way, because it could be in the form of new ideas, new people, new technology. In fact, Toby was talking about that even yesterday on the show. He said he learns from everybody, you know, even people in his organizational flow chart, right? You have people who are at the top and people who are lower down. But he said there's no value of people in that, and you can learn from every single person in the organization. And so you just always staying open to, where can I learn, where can I grow, what can I improve on.
That's good. We'll have to get you.
What about Snapchat? Oh, sorry.
No, I was just saying, the organization I work for when I'm not doing tech webcast is an adult education center, so I can certainly appreciate where you're coming from with your guests about lifelong learning. That's the banner that we run with.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Good stuff. What about Snapchat, Jennifer? What? Why are people getting into Snapchat now? It wasn't really big, a few years ago, and about now it's sort of taken off. Why is that, do you reckon?
Yeah, so there's a couple things that have happened there. One of them is they added the new feature called Stories.
Yep.
And so for those who aren't familiar with Snapchat, just a little background. Snapchat started as just a private text and image messaging app. And then the added feature was they would disappear. So that took on a lot of popularity in the young demographic. So teenagers, early 20s, because, you know, they could do stuff and hide it from their parents. And then they added Stories. Snapchat added Stories, and the Stories are now a place where you can curate moments of your day. It's the in-between moments. So when we have a big story to tell, you know, and we're in social media, we may share it on Facebook, or we may share it, do a Periscope broadcast about it, right? Mm-hmm. Or if we have just a quick little thought, we'll share it on Twitter. So what Snapchat does is it captures those in-between moments of your life, you know, that you're, and then you curate it over 24 hours, it makes a story. So someone who's interested in you and who's following you, they can go in and look at your story and see what you've done throughout the day. Okay, so that changed the demographic a little bit. That shifted the demographic. So now older adults, and I mean, by older, I mean mid to late 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. I don't mean like, you know, 70 and 80, although I'm certain that there are some in that demographic there. Then they became more interested because that was just more their, you know, language or something that was more entertaining. Okay, so then most recently, I think probably a month or so ago, Gary Vee got on Snapchat.
Yep.
And started, yeah. And so there's the Gary Vee effect. I mean, enough said, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now it's grown in popularity since then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just watch it. I do you use Snapchat every day? Do you, Jennifer? Do you use it every just the chat, like the chat and stuff, or take photos and something?
I love Snapchat. It's very fun, but it's not very user friendly. So it's clunky to learn.
Yeah, it is.
But once it really is, right, Brad?
Yeah, it is. I agree. Mm-hmm. And I don't really use it that much. I just go in there and just check it out and stuff, and look at people and that sort of thing, and see what they're up to and that sort of stuff, and just follow celebrities, really.
Yeah. And so it's not intuitive at all. So it's not user friendly. But once you learn it, at least my experience has been, it's really fun, and I really just have a lot of fun with it. So I use it for fun. But I will say that when I talk about my guests on Snapchat, or when I promote a show on Snapchat, there is a pretty good conversion rate that people will now go hop over on the live show, or they'll snap my guest and start following my guest. And that's value that I can offer both ways. You know, I can say, hey, you know, guest, look, here's some new followers for you. And then I can say to, you know, my friends on Snapchat, this is a really cool person. You might want to follow them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Like your Snapchat yesterday, you did a coffee, didn't you? A coffee one? For coffee.
Yes. Yes, I did. That was crazy. That was like a middle of the night idea that I thought it would be fun to do a coffee selfie Friday, you know, yeah. Hashtag coffee selfie Friday. But it has been fun. And so here, as soon as I'm done with this podcast, I'm going to go update that with all the pictures that people sent
me. Very cool. All right, let's go to Jacob real quick. Jacob, any comments or questions to Jennifer about Snapchat or whatever?
Well, I use Snapchat, but there's a lot of things going on there that
but it comes down to the people who you add on there, Jacob, on Snapchat.
Do you think, Jennifer, that Snapchat, there's been some talk about Snapchat sort of overtaking Twitter. Do you think that there's a possibility that with Twitter, that Snapchat may become the new Twitter?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that. Something about Snapchat and Twitter?
Yeah, there's been talk that, you know, with Twitter's slowing growth and not making as much money and looking at changing things, that Snapchat may be sort of, as a service, may be sort of overtaking it, and that Snapchat, in a way, may become the new Twitter. Do you sort of agree with that?
I personally don't agree with it because they're such different platforms serving different needs. I don't even see how they're even in the same category. So I would have to hear more about why someone is thinking that, you know, and hear a different perspective than the one I see. I don't even see how they're even in the same category.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. There was a big debate on a podcast on the Twit Network the other day where they were discussing that, you know, with Twitter slowing in its growth and maybe, yes, they're different platforms and they serve, but maybe, you know, the younger demographic is moving to, you know, away from Twitter to Snapchat, and that that it may become the new form of communication, and Twitter may sort of drop away. But I mean, it was an interesting discussion.
Well, there's a valid point in the sense that, you know, one of my colleagues at a business meeting today, he pointed out that he's putting together something at the local university here for the entrepreneur students and entrepreneurship program. And he said that he mentioned something about Twitter, and one of the students said, I don't have a Twitter account. And someone else said, I don't have a Twitter account. And I thought that was really interesting. But what I don't see it taking the place of, because a lot of people use Twitter for news and for searching and for hashtags and right and for curating content and mm-hmm. and getting the latest buzz, and Snapchat doesn't have any of those features.
Not at all. Jacob, what were you going to say about before Daryl sort of cut in by accident? Go ahead, Jacob.
I didn't really have anything to say.
Yeah, but you want to say, didn't you say something else? You want to, about Snapchat?
I was just going to say, all my chat, half of the people on there are girls.
Oh, well, yeah, you know. Yeah, your point is?
That's how crazy I can get.
So Jacob, do you use Twitter or Snapchat? What do you like better?
Twitter.
Okay. What about Snapchat? Do you use Snapchat?
Just to Google a little bit.
Okay. Who's your favorite person on Snapchat?
Right now my mind is a tizzy, so.
Okay.
The smart answer, Jacob, would have been JennyQ 411.
That's it. That's what I would have said too, Jenny. Yeah.
I would have not known that because
you haven't added her on Snapchat. That's probably why.
And I haven't added it on Facebook as well.
Well, you need to do that, mate.
Jacob.
All right. Okay. So, Jennifer, where can I get hold of you if they have any more questions they want to ask regarding the show and stuff?
So I can be found on every social media profile as Jenny Q, JennyQ, with the exception of I didn't get there fast enough. So Instagram and Snapchat are JennyQ411.
Great name.
Thanks.
Great name, Jenny Q. Great name.
Thank you.
Love it. Did you enjoy the podcast, Jenny? Is it Jenny or Jennifer? The people call you Jenny or Jennifer? Jennifer.
So do you want the story? I'll tell you the story. Okay, so I was raised being called Jennifer. My mother did not like me being called Jenny. As an adult, I shortened it to Jen. When I went on Twitter, so the way I found Twitter was I was watching the news in 2008, and Rick Sanchez was on CNN, and he said, "What are your thoughts? Send me a tweet." And I was like, send you a tweet? And so I, you know, opened my laptop, did the search, found out what Twitter was, started an account. Jennifer was taken.
Wow.
Jen was taken. And my husband called. And I thought, oh, I'll just use JennyQ. What does it matter?
That's cool.
Famous last words. Very cool. So now, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. All right.
So that didn't really answer your question. So the wraparound is now people call me Jenny.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you, Jenny, for being on.
My pleasure. Brad, thank you for asking me. No Daryl, Jacob, thanks for having me as a guest. It's been delightful. It's been fun. It's been educational and entertaining.
Yeah, definitely. Come back on any time if you want to come and talk some more tech-related
things. Awesome.
That sort of stuff. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Ozen Tech Webcast. Daryl, what about you, man?
You can get me at LearnScape on Twitter, and Mike Elgin and I are the last two on Google Plus. No, just joking. You can get me at plus Daryl Hunt at Google Plus. Yesterday, Mike Elgin has inspired me to continue on Google Plus. So yes, Google Plus.
Good on you, mate. Good on you. Jacob Jones, what about you, mate?
You can follow me at jazzbot32669 1z.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
We'll have to edit that out, of course.
Oh, you don't have to. It's just a bit of fun.
Just joking.
Jacob was telling me he wanted to get a job at Best Buy and he wanted to be a forklift driver.
Ooh. We run forklift courses here, so you can...
really?
Yeah, we actually do run
forklift. Do you need a license to drive a forklift?
You do in Australia, I suppose in America too. You need a license to drive it because it could be a very dangerous vehicle in the wrong hands.
That's what I told him, but he reckons he could drive one.
Yeah, I'm sure he could. Just do the training.
Yeah, there you go, Jacob.
No problem.
What do you reckon? Jacob, what do you reckon?
Wrong button.
All right. Okay. Thanks, guys, being on. Thank you, Jenny, for being.
I thought it was pretty good.
What's that?
It was pretty good. I was supposed to hit the burn button. I accidentally hit the burp button.
Oh, okay. Thanks for being on the show, Jenny. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Make sure you check out her show and that sort of good stuff, and follow her on Twitter and that sort of, and Snapchat and Facebook. And yeah.
And you know, I can't even believe I didn't mention this. My website is thedailyqshow.com.
That's it, thedailyq.com. Yeah.
Dailyqshow.com.
Dailyqshow.com, yeah. Jake, what's the website URL?
Dailyq.com.
What's so similar?
Dara, what's the website URL?
Sorry, well, you're talking to me?
What's the website URL, mate?
I closed the browser window. Now you're asking me these things. I was getting ready to sort of, you know, open up the recording and stop the recording, and then you're asking me questions. I closed the website down. Yeah.
This is a wrap. Okay.
This is a wrap before it degenerates.
Yeah.
Oops, it might be too late for that.
I think it is. I think it's webcast.
The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech webcast. Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech webcast. Ha! Tech webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer! Boom!